We pray for all of the ministry life of this church going on all across the church building tonight, from our students to our children, and of course with our choir and all of our other teachers as they teach the Word of God. What a blessing we have to be together in this place and to serve together. We ask that tonight you would open our hearts and our minds to the truth of your Word, that we might truly understand the importance of our faith, what we believe, and where it comes from. So grant us your understanding tonight from your Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let me give a little introduction. Come on in and everybody find your spot. We got everybody kind of around. And if you're with us tonight online, God bless you. If you're a guest, I'm Pastor Mike. We're honored to have you with us tonight. We start something tonight, and we'll be working on this through the summer and a little bit into the fall. And I call this Know the Truth. And on your seat there, you have this little pamphlet right here. Some of you know this pamphlet well, others of you do not. So here's what I'll be doing. I really believe that one of the things we need to do periodically is be reminded of what we believe, what the Bible teaches, and what are the central truths that we believe that are the foundation of our faith in Jesus Christ. And so what we'll do is we'll take each of these statements. This is our Southern Baptist Confession of Faith. And so we'll take each week, we'll go through, I would be tempted to elaborate on each of these, so we will start tonight with the Word of God. We could spend a long time, and some of you have been with me, and I'm tempted to go a long time on certain topics, but we're going to move through. I'm going to discipline myself, and we're going to talk about these things in a summary way. Here's the thing. Some of you I know really well, and I know your background, and I know your commitment to the Lord, and I know your training. But you see, we have others who've come our way who are part of our church, and I want to make sure that I'm on record as the pastor of this church, reminding us all of what we believe and how we live our faith based upon our confession as Southern Baptists. And so this is an important time. If you know someone who would benefit from this, perhaps they can't join us. Well, we'll have them recorded, but we would love for them to come and be with us. So look, I'd like for you, if you would, just keep this in your Bible. If you're going to come back, keep this with you. We'll have these available for others who come, but you know, if you have yours, then you'll have yours. What I'll do is I'll take each of these statements, these various statements that we have that form the focus of our faith, and I'll break them apart, as you'll see tonight, and we'll talk about each of these lines together. Tonight we begin by this first one, and so if you want to look at it with me, let's just look at our confession. As a Baptist, Southern Baptist, and we believe these things about the Scriptures. Let me just read it first of all. The Bible, this is on page 7. The Bible was written by men divinely inspired and is God's revelation of Himself to man. It is a perfect treasure of divine instruction. It has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. Therefore, all Scripture is totally true and trustworthy. It reveals the principles by which God judges us, and therefore is and will remain to the end of the world the true center of Christian union and the supreme standard by which all human conduct, creeds, and religious opinions should be tried. All Scripture is a testimony to Christ, who is Himself the focus of divine revelation. I want you to go in your Bible, first of all, you see it on your outline there. I want you to go in your Bible, though, go turn back to the book of Jude and also to the book of 2 Timothy. I want to start here together while you're finding your place. Jude, here's your test. It's right before the book of Revelation. There you go. You can find it. So go to Revelation, turn left, and you'll be there. Jude. Jude is written, and it's just only a few verses, but has some very strong things, 25 verses in all. And then we'll also look for a moment in introduction in 2 Timothy, the last letter Paul the Apostle wrote before he was martyred, was killed for his faith in the Lord Jesus and faith in these truths that we believe. And so his last of these words, his last of writings to Timothy, are very important for us all. As we begin, I just want some of you to think about how many copies of the Bible you have in your home. You ever thought about it? I have them from all of, I'm grateful to have been one of those who was raised in a Baptist church with a focus on the Word of God. And so from, I have my grandfather's Bible, who was a Gideon, I always laugh about it. Some of you probably do the same thing. He would write in the, he'd write over a text, Brother Netherton, and he'd date it because he wanted to make sure Brother Netherton preached all the Bible, didn't just go back to the same places all the time. That's all right if you do it. Some of you have been here long enough. That's all right. I have his Bible. I have my first Bible that was given to me when I was just a primary in RAs. That's going on tonight. Royal Ambassadors. Carried those Bibles through. Have all those Bibles. Someone said to me, what do you do with all your old Bibles? You keep them and go back to them once in a while. Here's what I would do. Go sit down and have yourself a good time. Look at the things you marked in your old Bibles. You hear what I'm saying? Go back and look what you marked. There was a time in your life where you held that copy of God's Word in your hands and you marked things. You may have changed the way you mark them now, but it talks to you, it speaks to you about your own experience of learning and walking with God. We want to make sure that every, you know, Brother Ken, we just had Vacation Bible School. Phenomenal. Perhaps the greatest one we've ever had in my days of being here. And so some of the boys and girls, the only Bible they have is a comic book Bible. I'm not making fun of that. But Ken said, now we want to give you a real Bible. Now, this is what we want you to have so that you can learn how to read your Bible. It is important for us to remember that though many of us here today know the Word of God and have our copies of the Bible, there are many homes, even in Dixon County and surrounding areas, where they don't have one Bible. If they do, it's like one fellow when we led him to Christ, he had a giant family Bible. And we said, bring your Bible. Here he came to church with that giant family. Well, he didn't know. And he got here and he said, well, how come everybody else doesn't have a Bible as big as mine? I said, well, we need to help you with that. Where would you be without the Word of God? I'm asking you tonight. I'm talking about this book. Where would you be in your life? How would you endure life's experiences if you did not have God's Word?
We'd be lost.
Well, that's right. You don't have to answer every question, Terry. But it's okay. They're rhetorical. The point of it is, I'm saying to you all, think about your journey with God's Word. What we want to do is for every person who comes to know Christ is have them learn how to pick up their Bible, read it, use it for their own sake. So what does Jude say as he's writing to Christians? Well, Jude chapter 1, Jude the only chapter, Jude 3. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith. That is, not faith in Jesus, but faith being our beliefs. Faith was always used sometimes as a verb, sometimes as a noun. Now it's faith, noun. That is, the things we believe. And the things we believe are based upon the words of the Lord Jesus, the apostles, and the prophets of the Old Testament. So I'm writing appealing that you, notice he's writing this in the early days of the church, early days, perhaps 50 AD after the Lord's death, contend earnestly for the faith, for what we believe, which was once for all, please notice the language, handed down to the saints. You see, this is very important for us to see. As we read the Word of God, we look at a document that is that is written over thousands of years by multiple authors, and yet the manuscripts and all that we have behind the study of the Word of God are greater than any other ancient document, Old and New Testament. And so the Word of God, the Scriptures, are the foundation of what we believe. We don't start with believing traditions handed down from various religious people who've been Christians. We appreciate reading and listening to some of the traditions of the early times, but they're not the same as God's Word. So we have God's Word, which is our sure guide. And so here I want you to see very importantly, these truths that we're looking at in 2024, the Bible is filled with truth that's been handed down to us. These are ancient, holy, sacred words. They are to be treated in such a way. We do not worship the Bible. We worship the God of the Bible, revealing the Lord Jesus Christ, but we honor the Word of God. If this book is that important and different from any and every other book we know, we should read it. Here's the way I learned it. You have your hand on the Bible, five parts of it. You hear God's Word. That's the thumb. It's hard to hold your Bible with just your thumb. We hear it preached. We hear it taught. We read it. You can hold it fairly well this way, but it's not the best. We hear God's Word and we read God's Word. We read it privately and we read it together here in our church. We hear it, we read it, and then we study it. We look at all the phrases. That's what we do together. All of our teachers, we take God's Word and take the words apart, look at them, because they all matter. We study it, but then we memorize it. There's never a time I've challenged all of you people in here who've been around a long time like me, you have no excuse. You still should be memorizing the Word of God. Find ways to memorize God's Word. You need it back in your mind, as we'll see in just a moment. And then we meditate on it. We take the things we learn and we memorize and we study and we think about them. We contemplate them. We meditate on them. That's the way to keep yourself out of negative fleshly mindedness, is to take God's Word. This is our guide. This is the place we go and this is the place we start in our confession. These things have been handed down to us. Those of you who have Bibles with your cross references in them. Many of these things I've taught to our church before, but I want to have this on record that we've talked about this. So it's called the apparatus in your Bible. Some of you have your cross reference notes in the middle of the margin. Some of you have them on the outside of the margins. I want to remind you that God's people, when you look at those cross references in your Bible, you're reading the Bible with generations of Christians. Because you see, back to the days, early days of even the Geneva Bible, in the earliest days, the German Bible, God's people started comparing scriptures and finding the ones that were, they didn't have a computer. They didn't have artificial intelligence. They were doing it by reading, and they would mark it and they would share it. And then these cross references you have in your Bible, that's the way you read your Bible. You study it. Scripture, you compare scripture to scripture. This is the discipline of study. So we teach that to our people here. We teach it generation after generation. My point is, you're reading God's Word with God's people from all the ages. What a marvelous thing. I remind you, you have an English Bible. I could have brought it in here tonight and read it to you in Greek, but it would have done you no good unless you know Greek. I could have, when we were looking at Isaiah, I could have read you the passage in the Hebrew language, but it wouldn't have done you any good, because unless you read and speak Hebrew, you would not benefit from it. There is a tremendous story of the development and the preservation of the Scriptures in our own mother tongue, and I remind you never to forget, when you open this Bible, the great sacrifice of many who have gone before so that we might have God's Word. I preach and I teach from the New American Standard, the 95 edition. I do it with conviction. I believe it is the one that will give you the best rendering closest to the original languages. It doesn't always read beautifully, but it's wonderful. And so everybody always asks me that. That's what I do. I'm not opposed to the other translations. I use them in study. But I do say to you that the New American Standard 95 is quite good, and I would recommend it to you. If you have other Bibles, at least you should have one for your study time. So what does he say to us here? Contend for the faith. You see, we live in a time where people have already laughed off the Bible and all of us who believe the Bible. You understand that. The common opinion in the world these days is, well, you're all of you Christians are just fools anyway. You're uneducated and you really don't know. You're not up on the times. All of these Bible things, this is all written by men who tricked everybody and put their minds together and is filled with all kinds of moral stories at best, but it's of no value. It's good to read as a history, but it's of no other value. They don't see any divine power upon these words at best. At worst, they could care less. They think that it's laughable that we would spend our time reading the Bible. But you see, the reality is that we must continue to take the truths of this book and in our world contend. Do you know what that means? It means compete. It means you contend earnestly. What does he say? Contend earnestly for the truth. You see, people say now that they are their own truth. They make up their own truth. I'm my own truth. Whatever that may mean. What in the world? I'm just old. What does that mean? Who knows what that means? That's ridiculous. You make your own truth. You live in falsehood and lies. The reality is that our task is to know the Word of God and politely, gently, but firmly remind people in the world today, this is what God's Word says. You may not believe it's God's Word, but we can tell you this. The things that this book says will happen to people when they get in their sin happen. The things that occur in this book, the stories and the histories of it, have happened. There are promises and there are predictions, and they've happened historically. So these things have been handed down to us. We stand here tonight on this date. What is our date? It's June the 12th, 2024, reading the Word of God as it has been handed down to us from our spiritual fathers, the apostles, who received these truths in the New Testament from the Lord Jesus Christ, given to us by the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, all of the magnificent beauty of the Old Testament. And we have, in all of my years, spent years and years going through the Old Testament. I want you to know it as well as you know your... You cannot understand the New Testament without a clear understanding of the Old Testament. And so it has all the prophecies and predictions of the first coming and the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Then we see also in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I just want you to look at these two verses. So the word in Jude is contend. Doesn't matter if people laugh at you, you need to still say to them, well, this is what God's Word says. This is what God's Word said. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and I'm not ashamed of God's Word, and this is what God's Word, and this is what I believe. This is the way I'll live my family life. This is the way I'll shape my values. This is the way I'll go to work. These are the things that will build. This is what I believe. This is the faith handed down to us, and it is in the writings of Scripture. Now we go to Paul writing to Timothy, and he says in verse 13, retain the standard of sound words. This book is filled with sound words. I'll give you a hint. If we were reading this in the Greek language, sound means healthy. Retain the standard. The Greek word for standard is a summary, statements. Retain the summary statements, the standards of healthy, or you can put the word in there, whole, W-H-O-L-E, whole words. This book is filled with wholesome, healthy words. These are words that give you life. These are words that bring back encouragement to you when you're discouraged. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me. And this room here, knowing you all, you've heard the Word of God preached, you've heard it taught, and I've mentioned this to you. When you read God's Word, you're hearing it with your eyes. When you're reading it, you're hearing it. You've heard the Word of God. Some of you for years and years and years, you've heard the Word of God. Retain. The word retain means hold on to it. Have you at your age allowed and have you now lost your passion and love for the Word of God? Have you lost? Do you retain the Word of God? This is not about being old or age. This is a question of growing in Christ. We know these words and we retain them and we use them in our daily life. They are the weapons we use against discouragement and despair. They're the words we use against the devil. When the Lord was dealing with the devil, He could have said anything by His authority, but what did He do? He quoted the Word of God to Satan, the devil. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me, notice, in the faith. You've been taught these things. And love which are in Christ Jesus. And then look at verse 14. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. The treasure. The treasure of God's Word. The treasure of the eternal truths of God. That's the way we approach the Word of God. When Muhammad was alive on the earth, he met Christians, and the Muslims in the early days called Christians the people of the book. The people of the book. We are the people of the book. And as we believe, as Baptists, we start with God's Word. We don't start with a creed. We don't start with men's traditions. We start with the Word of God. So when someone comes to know the Lord Jesus, the first thing we do is make sure that they have a copy of God's Word, not just on their phone, but a real Bible. You know, I can smell this Bible. I can smell it. It has all of my marks in it. When I mark on my phone one, I can't find the text or my daughter has to help. Here, Dad, it's right here. Can't you find that? No. I'm going to carry a real Bible. And when I die, I told Pat, just put my real Bible in the casket. Roll me on, put me in the ground. Waiting for the resurrection. I'll have my Bible, Terry, when the Lord puts my body back together. There you are. So now let's look quickly at these statements about what we believe. The Holy Bible was written by men divinely inspired. That is, God breathed. That's what these words mean. God breathed words. So we'll look for sake of time at 2 Timothy. I put these on here because it's too hard for us to look them all up. If you've not been with me before, I'll generally give you some of these passages on your paper so you don't have to look them up. 2 Timothy 3, Paul's writing to Timothy, the younger brother in the faith. He reminds Timothy of the privilege he had. And I'm grateful, I'm testifying. All of you have your children here. And some of you who had parents who took you, thank God every day you had them that they brought you and you heard the Word of God as a child. Amen. I'm not saying that someone can't come to know Christ at an old age or as a young adult and not be benefited by it, but I'm going to tell you, I've been hearing this since I was born. And so now, remember these childhood experiences of the Word of God. From childhood, you have known the sacred writings. What a statement. That's what I wish for all of our people and all of our young ones. We have a lot of young ones in our church. That's why Pastor Ken, that's why Brother Tim, that's why we're doing all we can with our children and our preschoolers and our senior students, and to help them know the Word of God, the sacred writings. That's what you have here, the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation. That's what the Bible does. It gives you wisdom. It wakes you up. Finally, you read it and you say, I need this Jesus. I need to be born again. I need to know God. I need to turn from my sin. It gives you wisdom that leads to salvation. And all Scripture, and the word Scripture, by the way, the word Scripture means the writings. Graphe is the Greek word, graphe. You know, graffiti. All the graphe is inspired. The word inspired means breath. God breathed. These words come from God, the Holy Spirit. They are words, just like our words have breath with them. They're inspired by God and they're profitable. This is worth your time. The Word of God is profitable for teaching. It is profitable for reproof. It is profitable for correction. And is profitable for training. That's why we go back and back and back to it. We take it in our minds. We go back to the places we've read before and we find things we didn't see before. The Holy Spirit is the one who takes us there. And we're trained in the Word of God so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You're reading inspired words here. You're reading sacred, holy words from God. It is a perfect treasure of divine instruction. We have all of these Old Testament passages that remind us of this. I'll just read the one here. Here in Deuteronomy 17 is what kings are to do. Here's what the kings are to do. The king is to make his own copy of Scripture is what this section is about. And it shall be with the king, and he shall read it all the days of his life. That's what the kings of Israel were to do. They were to have a copy of the Word of God, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by carefully observing all the words of this law and these statutes. We read them carefully. We look at all the words. We look at all the phrases. We turn them inside and out, backwards and forwards. We ask, what do these words mean? We carefully, deliberately read every word. And from that, something happens on the inside. There comes to be a change in your mind. And all of a sudden, when you're in a pinch, some of those words will come back to you. And you'll say, the Lord brought that to your mind. The Holy Spirit brings it to your mind and helps you in your most difficult time. The Lord Jesus said down there, Matthew 5, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished. The Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. What the Lord Jesus says, his red letter words, are eternal words. They are words, they are eternal words spoken by eternal God. Paul said in Romans 15:4, whatever is written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through the perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. The Word of God tells you to hold on. The Word of God tells you to keep trusting God. The Word of God says to be encouraged. That's what we get from the Word of God. Look, the Word of God is much better than a Hallmark card. And I'm not opposed to Hallmark cards. Number three, it has God for its author, salvation for its end, truth without any mixture of error. Psalm 119, the longest psalm, is a psalm completely focused on honoring the Word of God. And what does it say? Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's the way I learned it when I was a kid, King James. So did some of you. What did the Lord say? The Lord in his prayer for God's for the believers, including us, sanctify them in the truth. You know how you're made holy, friends? The Word of God helps you become holy. The Word of God helps you to turn from your sin. The Word of God, you hear it and you say, I must turn from these old ways. I must do this. You see, when you pick up your Bible to read it, it has a voice. It has a tone. When you read the Word of God, it's not like reading your feed on your Google feed. It's not like reading your latest thing that you have on your devices. When you pick these words up, they sound, they feel. When you read them, they have a different tone. That's because they're Holy Spirit words. They're sacred words. Sanctify them in the truth. And what does the Lord Jesus say to God the Father? Your word is truth. All Scripture is totally true and trustworthy. Well, if you don't have the Bible to tell you what's going to happen when you die, who's going to tell you? Dr. So-and-so? I remind you that every man that you go to for advice is a fellow man who's going to die, not God. The reality is that the Word of God helps us because it is totally true. How much time did we spend, if you're in this church, how much time did we spend? We spent a year last year in the book of Genesis. And we spent half of the year talking about family secrets. You remember that? Now, if this Bible was written just to con people, who would put all that bad stuff in there about all the characters? You just leave it out. You've got messes in all the families of God's holy people. It is totally true and trustworthy. Your word is settled in heaven. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. You see, Peter says it best here. You've been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. You know, you get saved when you read the Bible. I had the opportunity years ago to go to a place where Bibles were smuggled in to lots of places where you can't get Bibles. And this organization still smuggles Bibles to this day. They do it differently than they used to. There they had in their case what was called the latrine Bible. And the story, just quickly, because we've got to finish this, because I'm not coming back to this page next week. I'm going on to the next one. But the story's worth it. So basically the Bible smugglers took and sunk a barge, sealed the barge and the Bibles in it for the Chinese people, sealed it and dropped this barge under the water. And at the appropriate time, the signal was given and the smugglers on the inside of China came and they floated it to the surface. Well, they were successful in doing that. And then all of the messengers came on their motorcycles and bicycles. Let's remember, the world we live in isn't all, you know, driving your electric car around, you know, or whatever you want to do. They went and got their motorcycles and bicycles and strapped them on. Well, the Chinese soldiers found them. Long or the short of it is, they took those Bibles as many of them as they could find, and they ripped them to shreds, threw them in the latrines, you know, the outdoor toilet. So the Christians found them, put them back together, and they're called the latrine Bible. You know, what a difference. For some of us, we can't even find our Bibles, much less do that. You see, we teach our children that the Word of God is totally true and trustworthy. Because we've seen it to be true in our own lives, we've seen it true in history, and we've seen, if we need it, the archaeological evidence of those things. It reveals the principles by which God judges us. You see, this is the Word of God. It reminds us, as I have been speaking about very clearly, not trying to be harsh, but trying to be clear, judgment is coming. Judgment, the greatest of all judgments, is coming, one like the world has never seen. Just read from chapter 4 of Revelation to chapter 19 and see the great pains and the horrible conditions upon the earth when the church is gone during that time of trouble and tribulation. Just look at what will happen. You see, the Word of God is alive and living, sharper than a two-edged sword. And when I read this book, it reads my mind. Amen. It reads my mind. I'll be reading it, and the Lord's saying through the Holy Spirit, well, you need to go do this. I'll tell you what, when you read your Bible, you ought to have a pad and a pen, and you ought to be jotting down what the Lord's saying to you while you're reading it. He's going to tell you things, but you don't want to forget them. It reveals the principles by which God judges us, and it is and remains to the end of the world, regardless of the opinions of the world. It is the true center of Christian union and the supreme standard by which all human conduct, creeds, and religious opinions are tested. You see, that's what the Holy Spirit does. You see it there, John 16. When He, the Spirit, comes, and now He's here. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to possess you and help you to understand the truth of God's Word. It's one of the miracles of being saved. You're possessed by God, and the Holy Spirit helps you. So you don't have to be, men used to tell me, I've tried to teach the Bible with men all my days, and there's some men that I worked with in a certain place who just were struggling to even be able to read, and they said, well, I'm not smart enough to read my Bible. But I'll tell you what I discovered, some of those men became some of the greatest teachers of the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit can take and teach you the Word of God regardless of your educational level. When He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak of His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak and will disclose to you what is to come. And He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. This is all disclosure talk. This is revelation. You read the Bible and the Holy Spirit starts to open your mind and teach you things that you would never otherwise know. This is the miracle of what happens when we read the Word of God. And finally, Scripture points to Jesus. All of Scripture points to the Lord Jesus. It is a testimony to Christ, who is Himself the focus of divine revelation. And so we see here, Romans 16. Okay, let me check. It's 7:30. Thank you for that alarm. Now to Him who is able to establish you according to My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past, now is manifested and by the Scriptures of the prophets, according to the eternal God, has made known to all the nations, leading to faith. You know what? That's why we thank God for the Gideons in our church. That's why we thank God for them going and standing out in the heat, handing out Bibles. That's why we celebrate that. That's why we focus. That's why, look, when you come here, we're going to teach the Bible. When you come here, we're not going to entertain. When you come here, it's not about telling funny jokes. When you come here, wherever you go, whether it's one of our Bible study classes, or I can promise you this, the guy standing over there in the pulpit, it's going to be about this. If someone's not interested in this, we're going to be boring people. This is cornbread and beans. That's where I'm from. Somebody cook some up. Cornbread and beans. This is what you do, and you keep on doing it day after day, year after year, and then you hand it off to the next generation. You train them how to teach it and preach it, and you go on till Jesus comes. Amen. All right, Charles Wesley, here's your hymn for the week. It's 731. I guarantee you, you've never sung this hymn. I guarantee you, you've never sung it. Jesus, we on the Word depend. Jesus, we on the Word depend, spoken by Thee while present here. The Father in My name shall send the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. That promise made to Adam's race, now Lord in us, even us fulfill, and give the Spirit of Thy grace to teach us all Thy perfect will. That heavenly teacher of mankind, that guide infallible impart, to bring Thy sayings to our mind and write them on our faithful heart. He only can the words apply through which we endless life possess, and deal to each his legacy, his Lord's unutterable peace. That peace of God, that peace of Thine, O mighty now to us bring in, and fill our souls with power divine, and make an end of fear and sin. The length and breadth of love reveal, the height and depth of deity, and all the sons of glory seal and change and make us all like Thee. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We pray that You might help us be like the Bereans, noble people who go to Your Word every day and eat it and consume it so that we might live lives of holiness to honor the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.